The scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, also Exodus 20 verse 12. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." That's the fifth commandment. We also read that from Deuteronomy. Now we read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. This is the word of the Lord. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Thus far we read God's holy word. For the text for the sermon on the basis of these passages and all of the scriptures is Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Question 104, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? "That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all authority, all power in heaven and earth, the God who made the heaven and earth, who made all things, and who determines the laws and the times and the seasons, and Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who has purchased us with His own precious blood, who has called us out of the kingdom of darkness and into His kingdom of light. This God, this sovereign Redeemer and Lord, has set this commandment before you and before me. Honor your father and your mother. Honor all those in authority over you. Showing honor to authority is not an attitude that is common today. It is not lauded today. It is not very often taught or exemplified today. It is taught from a very outward perspective. It is yet praiseworthy to be a law-abiding citizen. And yet honor for authority is not so much taught. And in certain cases, more and more, especially in intellectual circles, and even in some Christian circles, broader nominal Christianity, it is honorable to disregard authority, to disobey, to protest, to find unique, silent, nonviolent ways to protest, and thereby also, they wouldn't say this, but dishonor authority, to break the fifth commandment. What happens in the world is that there is this sort of mob rule where those in authority may make their own decisions, they may make their own policies and their own laws, but in the end, it is the mob who will determine what is right and what is good. And if they do something that is disagreed with these lawmakers, these authorities, then the mob rises up and they protest and they express their discontentment and they disguise their dishonorable attitudes toward these rulers. This mob rule is breaking the fifth commandment. Now, what authorities do is often up for criticism, or to put it in more biblical terms, it is up for judgment. Some of the things that they do are good. Some of the things that they do are evil. Some of the good things they do in an evil way. Some of the evil things they do, well, it's impossible to do those things in a good way. But what the fifth commandment sets before us is that there must be honor for these authorities at all times. There's also something to be said before we get into the commandment itself about the abuse of authority. Authority is abused in this day and age. Perhaps now more than ever we are aware of it. It's always abused. It's always been abused. It's abused on every level. It's abused in the case of parents and their children, in the sad case of child abuse. But it's abused on every level of society. And this is not to be excused, and that also is a violation of this commandment because it violates the authority that God has given to fathers, to mothers, and to those in authority. And the honor that God requires authority to be shown ought to be a sobering thing for all of us who are in positions of authority. As Christians, we ought to hold ourselves to the highest of standards, to honor, to show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all that are in authority over me. That's the calling of the fifth commandment. Honoring all those in authority, what, how, and why? What does it mean that we must honor our father and our mother and all those in authority over me? The first requirement of the catechism in the fifth commandment is that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to all in authority over me. Before we get into the meaning of it, let's keep in mind who these authorities are, and let's outline some of these authorities. In the first place, primarily, it's addressed to children. Children, you who are 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 and 6 years old. You who are sitting in here and looking up and listening to the preaching, you listen now. This word is for you. This commandment is for you. Don't forget it. Take it home with you. Honor your father and your mother. Show all honor to them. Now, we ought to take a moment to consider the wonder of that, that God saw fit to have a commandment addressed to children. Why does God care how children behave? Well, because they are in His covenant. And they are included in His covenant and included in His kingdom. And because He redeemed the children from Egypt with their parents. And He redeems our children at the cross and brings them into His kingdom of light. Children, you're in the kingdom. There's a law for you, a special law for you. And it's this: honor your father and your mother. That's a wonder of grace, something to be greatly thankful for, a wonderful confirmation that our children are in the covenant. There's a commandment for them, specifically addressed to them. Father and mother, this is the specific application of the first commandment too, because in the home is where this commandment is learned. In the home is where children learn to obey and submit to authority and to honor their father and mother, and then they carry what they learn in the home into every part of their life. That commandment also includes more than honoring father and mother. For children, this too includes your teachers. You must honor your teachers. You must honor your principals. You must honor all the adults in the church, for they are in authority over you as well. Honor them. This commandment also has requirements for adults in the sphere of the church. The authorities are the office bearers. Pastor, elders, deacons. It is the authority of the consistory and of the classis and of the synod. We are called to honor them for their work's sake, for their authority's sake. By joining yourself to this church, you willingly put yourselves under the authority of those assemblies and these office bearers. There's also application of the fifth commandment in the sphere of society. Honor for kings, honor for governors, honor for presidents and senators and mayors and councils, whatever it may be. And perhaps this most important sphere of life where we come in the closest contact besides that of father and mother is the sphere of the workplace. Honor for our masters according to the flesh. Honor for our employers. Honor for the owners of the company that pay us a fair wage, that give us work so that we may have and have to give to the needy. In that realm especially, we often come into conflict with the fifth commandment because our old man desires to fight for our rights, for our desires, for what we think is right or good at work. So in all of those realms, in the home and the church and society, we are called to show all honor, love, and fidelity. What do these involve? Honor is to have a high regard, to place a high value on them, to treat them as though they have that high value for us, to treat them as though they are very looming very large in our eye, that they are very important in God's eyes and for our life, to have the utmost respect. That's what it means to honor. That's the word chosen by God in the fifth commandment itself. Honor thy father and thy mother. And the catechism recognizes that and says, this is first, honor all authority. Have a heartfelt attitude that puts ourselves underneath their rule. Show them that they are important, that we have a high regard for what they say and for what they do. Show this by the way we speak to them, the way we interact with them, and the way that we speak about them. Honor all these authorities with the way you speak about them to your neighbor. When you speak about them and the authorities will never hear, honor authority with your words, your body language, your gestures. Show the honor that you would show to God Himself. That's God's authority that He has given to the magistrate, that He has given to the office bearer, that He has given to father and mother. It's God's authority. Honor them, revere them, respect them as you would revere and respect God Himself. Then we're called to love. Show all love. We honor these authorities because God has given them that authority for their office's sake, but we love them in their person. We love the person. We love the authority figure. We want them to prosper. We want it to be well with them. We desire it. We pray for it. And then the honor that we have for their authority grows deep roots. Now we're growing deep roots. Now we not only respect them for their authority's sake, but we love them as an individual. We want it to be well with them. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we are called to love authority figures as instruments in God's hand, and in the case of the church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we heard not long ago at installation. We love our brothers and sisters, our brothers who are in office, by honoring them, by obeying them, and submitting to them. Then we're called to show fidelity. Honor, love, and fidelity. Fidelity is faithfulness, loyalty. It's the reality that our honor and our love endures through all kinds of circumstances. We remain faithful. We don't say, well, here's my authority. And then we say, I'm sick of that authority. I'm going to go over here and make this my master now. No, we show fidelity. We recognize that authority comes from God. All these three things are tied together. We have honor and respect for their authority, love for the person in that position, and fidelity and faithfulness through all circumstances. These three things the Catechism puts before us, and this ought to be the high standard that we have running through our minds and ringing in our ears, and especially that we ought to teach and instill in our children. What does the fifth commandment require of us? Well, we can go to Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But the Catechism helps us deepen our understanding of what that means. Honor, respect, love, fidelity, faithfulness. Fathers, you can teach your children these things. Mothers, you can teach your children these things, especially in the way they speak to, in the way they speak about father and mother, and about teachers, and about preachers, and about elders, and about anyone really, showing an honor and a respect as children, developing that habit of honoring authority will carry on throughout life. Sadly, if it is not taught, it often manifests itself throughout life as well. Now, a broad consideration of this commandment and what it means to honor father and mother really brings us back to the basics of theology and of salvation. And we can see God's goodness to us in this commandment. We can see how good it is that He provides these authorities for us. We can see it when we imagine, just for a moment, what life would be like if we did not have authority, if God did not give to some men authority in this life. If we eliminated civil magistrates, There were no authorities in society. Society would quickly descend into chaos and anarchy. Wickedness would run rampant and unpunished. It would be undeterred. Orderly society would be impossible. And in the chaos of this disordered society, all of it would in time be funneled and directed against the church in the form of persecution and the destruction of the church. What happens when you eliminate a biblical home structure in which father and mother no longer have authority to rule, to lead, to instruct, and especially this, to correct their children, to train children to honor, respect, and love, and be faithful, to teach them the truth and guide them according to it? What would become of those children? Take away the authority of father and mother. What will become of the children in that home? And that's not altogether hypothetical either. There must be a maintenance of authority of father and mother in the home. And there must be an honor for father and mother in the home. God has provided these authorities. Now we must honor them. There must not be a constant grumbling or complaining. There must not be a continual show of disrespect from you children toward your father or your mother. I'm always struck when reading the law that God saw fit to include father and mother in the explicit commandment. Father and mother both have that authority. Both must be shown that honor. Fathers, do not let your wives be dishonored by your children. This fifth commandment is good for us. It's good for us to have order, to have peace, and not confusion and chaos. God does have much to say about how authorities are to rule, and they will be judged for those times when they abuse their authority. But all of us are in positions under authority, and it's good for all of us to glorify God by honoring and loving and being faithful to them. In the second place, we want to see how the Catechism instructs us in the how. How do we honor, show all honor, love, and fidelity? And we do this with submission and due obedience. We show honor, love, and fidelity. Those are attitudes of the heart. They show themselves in actions very quickly. You can see right into the heart with the actions. And you can see it in this. Does an individual submit himself with due obedience? The fundamental requirement is our submission. It never changes. There is never a time when we do not need to submit to authority. At all times, we submit. We place ourselves under. We put ourselves under authority. That's what it means to submit. And when we submit, we hear their good instruction. We apply their good instruction. We learn it. And then we receive their correction when they discipline us, when they punish us, when they chastise us. We receive that willingly. We don't fight against it. At all times, we submit, always maintaining honor, love, and fidelity. We're not seeking a reason to be rebellious. We're not seeking a reason to throw off honor for a short time and to talk bad about father or about mother or about our government. At all times, we are holding them up in high regard. We show this attitude with obedience most of the time by doing what they command us to do. It's not always possible, but submission is at all times possible. When they command something that is contrary to God's word, then we say we must obey God rather than man. And yet, though they have commanded me to do this, and I cannot do it, I will submit to the punishment for that disobedience. I will submit to their rule in all circumstances. With that attitude, God is well pleased. Then we give due obedience. Most of the time, these two go hand in hand. We show our love and our honor by obeying. That's how Paul explains the fifth commandment in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents. He knows what the fifth commandment says. It says, honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. But he goes right to the children and he says, children, obey your parents. And then he goes to the father and he says, provoke them not. These words are intertwined, a word for those under authority and the words to those who are in authority. Then he comes to servants in verse 5. Servants, be obedient. Do what your masters command you to do. Do what your masters expect you to do. God honoring obedience. This is only possible by the sovereign grace of Jesus Christ. Look at the way that Paul phrases these things. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Servants, obey your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Obey them as though you are obeying Christ. As though you are doing the will of God, do the will of your master and do it from the heart. That's how God will have you to obey from the heart, as though you are doing the will of God with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Don't have in your mind all the weaknesses and the infirmities of your rulers. Pretend you are serving the Lord. It's His authority. And it's God who has placed this individual over you. Servants, children, obey as unto the Lord. So there's a warning here against eye service. Eye service is a plague among all people because it is so easy. It is so easy when we're in the office, when we're in the study, when we're in the truck, when we're on the job site, and the boss walks away for a few minutes. Now we can take a step back. We can put our hands on our hips. We can take a little bit of extra time. We can spend a little more time at the water cooler when we know full well we have already taken our allotted time to take a break. And now we are on company time. We're doing eye service or children. You know what your mother and your father expect of you. You know what you are supposed to be doing when you get home from school. You're supposed to be doing your homework. But you think, well, I have some time. Mom's not looking. Dad's not home yet. I can spend some time doing what I want. You know what time your curfew is supposed to be. But you also know that mom and dad are out with so-and-so and they're going to be home later. So now I don't need to obey them because they're not going to know. Not with eye service, but as unto the Lord. God is pleased with a heartfelt attitude of submission, and when we render due obedience, when we have that attitude of honor and love and fidelity toward authority at all times, God is pleased with it. God is delighted with it. It is contrary to our nature. We must fight against our old man that does not want to do this. We need the sovereign grace of God. And we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who honored father and mother. He honored Mary. He honored Joseph. He honored his father in heaven. He honored Caesar. He honored Herod and Pilate and the authority of those weak and sinful chief priests. He gave and rendered due obedience to all who were in authority over him. And he went to the cross with his spotless righteousness, gave it up, took on our disobedient records, dishonorable records, and died an accursed death for us. And he has paid for them. He has risen again, and he has given us not only his righteousness, but also his spirit, his life, his grace, and a sanctified desire to honor those in authority so that we too might make it our delight to obey and submit. Patience is also required. And patience is another way in which we show our honor, love, and fidelity. That's what the Catechism deals with in the third phrase, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. Our patience, our patient bearing with the weaknesses and sins and infirmities of all human authority is how we show that we truly honor them. We're not just making use of authority at times when it is good for us, but we recognize that authority itself is due this special honor and respect. And so we give it at all times, even in their weakness. When there is weakness, and there is always weakness in human authority, even in believing fathers and mothers, we still must honor them. We still must patiently bear with them, though it is painful. Kings and presidents and senators and mayors don't always rule in harmony with God's word, either in the content of their decrees or the way that they enforce them. Fathers and mothers, whether believers or unbelievers, do not always deal with their children in patience and in love and with understanding. Their rules are not always so wise. Their chastisements are not always done in love. They sometimes cross the line, and this is not to be excused. The way that parents instruct and correct and discipline does not always reflect the way that our Heavenly Father deals with us. There's only one remedy, fathers and mothers, and office bearers, and all in authority. We must confess our faults. We must go there, especially in this day and age. We must go there first. Because when the word is to those under authority, you must honor father and mother. You must honor father and mother at all times. There are some ensnared in sinful habits of abusing their authority who will take that word and twist it and force their children or those under their authority to deal with this abuse. And so first to fathers, mothers, and authority figures, when you cross the line, when you fail in your duty and sin against those who are in your authority, you must confess your faults, not just to God, but to your children. You must. You've sinned against them. You must ask for their forgiveness. In doing so, you are showing that you are under God. Though you are above them, you are under God, and you must submit to your Father's will, and your Father requires you to confess your faults to those that you sin against. And you will teach, by doing that, you will teach your children what it means to submit to authority. I know what I must do. I know what I must do when I offend a brother, when I offend my father, when I disobey him. I must go to him and I must confess and ask for forgiveness, because I saw that that's what my father did with me. And that's what he did under God. They must learn from your own mouth, from your own example, how to submit to the rule of authority, and they will also, by God's grace, learn how to rule well when the time comes. But those weaknesses and infirmities for those of us who are under the authority of these weak rulers does not negate the command to submit to them or the commands to obey them. We are called to honor, show honor, love, and fidelity at all times, especially when there is weakness, especially when we see the weakness, yet we will honor them. Where there is sin, we may call it sin, and yet we will honor them for their authority's sake. Let it never be our habit, when a parent or an office bearer or a ruler shows weakness, that we take every opportunity to disgrace them, to gossip about them, to spread our negative evaluation of them, or to critique them in such a way that there is no honor. What will happen if we are critical in that way is others will hear it and they will say, I know him. I know this. He's always talking about his parents. I know her. She's always complaining about her dad or about her mom. There's no honor there. He's always complaining about how the elders are requiring him to do this or that. He's always talking bad about the president. He's always talking bad about politics and about how terrible our government is. There's no honor there. That's the assessment that others will give of us if we are critical in that way. But let us be known as those who honor authority, who honor our parents and our government and the leaders in the church. And then others will say, I know his parents are weak, but this son and that daughter, they bear patiently with him and they honor him. And the Lord has blessed them in that. I know that he doesn't really agree with the policies of this individual in government, but though he voices his thoughts, he is deliberately showing honor to this individual in authority. He has a respect for these men in office. That kind of witness is glorifying to God. Why must we honor father and mother? The Catechism says and gives one reason, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. We honor, we submit, we obey, we bear patiently with their infirmities. Why? Because, since this is the good pleasure of God. And that really is at the center of Ephesians 6 in verse 6 as well. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God doing the will of God from the heart. It's the will of God that we put ourselves under these authorities, whether it is as workers or as citizens or as children. What is the will of God? To do the will of God, to do it from the heart. To do it at all times, especially under authority. In every relationship, this is the good pleasure of God, to govern us, but not to govern us invisibly with his own hand, but to govern us by the hand of those whom he gives authority. He gives authority to the kings and to the office bearers, and he governs us by their hands. God is pleased to use them. He's pleased to use you, parents, to govern your children. And children, know that and recognize that. In our love for God, that's the reason that holds the most weight. All kinds of reasons could be given. I haven't done this, but I'm sure if you looked into the libraries and all the books upon books upon books of political theory and why the certain kinds of rule are better because they maintain a better order, and you sought all those, you'd find many, many reasons why it's good that there is a healthy respect and honor for authority. But we don't need to do that. We may simply go to this word that we have been passed down in wisdom, which is taken from the Word of God. This is God's good pleasure. It pleases God to govern us by the hand of authorities, and therefore it's good for us to submit and obey. It shows our love for God when we do that. That's the will of God our Father. That's the will of Jesus Christ our Lord and our Redeemer, who works in us by His own Spirit so that we both will and do of His good pleasure. We may also consider this motivation of the commandment, since this is the first commandment with promise. We obey this commandment because it's the will of God. It's the expressed will of God that we honor authority, and it's the will of God that there be authority over us. But it's given to us with this promise: obey and honor, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. It's not well for the child who does not obey his father and mother. It will not be well for the church that does not have a respect for office bearers. It will not be well for the society that lives in anarchy because it will not submit itself to any kind of government. It will be well with good order and peace and harmony and long life when there is an honor for father and mother and all those in authority. And by that, we are shown a glimpse of the better promise and the better kingdom and the better peace of heaven above, where there will be perfect order and a perfect honor for our sovereign God. We look forward to that kingdom even more than we look forward to a promotion of the well-being of society or the lengthening of our days. We look forward to that sovereign right that we have in Jesus Christ to be a part of a perfect kingdom. And we will delight to honor our King there. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, give to us the grace to love and delight to do thy will by honoring our parents and the authorities over us. Give grace to those in authority to rule well, to rule humbly, and to rule according to truth. And forgive all of us for our sins against the fifth commandment, and make us to have a sanctified desire to show all honor and love and fidelity to all in authority over us. Amen.